Hello, and welcome to Legendary Les. I'm your host, Austin Reese, and today you'll hear an interview with Mr. Les about his love of sports. You will also hear from Miss Dennis and Miss Odom with their funny stories to share about Mr. Les.
Can you tell me anything about Mr. Les that maybe people don't know about him?
Okay, well, everybody just sees the Mr. Les head of upper school, but we know Mr. Les as the nicest guy you could ever wish to meet. He is kind and caring and empathetic, and he cares about everybody who works here and goes to school, and he's a great boss.
Thank you. Can you give me any funny stories or maybe just describe the side of Mr. Les we don't see?
Sure. I got a couple things in mind. One is from a road trip we took together. So I drove or went with Mr. Les to visit colleges in Virginia. And so several fun things ensued on this road trip. It was just the two of us, and we drove, got a rental car, and we drove from Charlotte up to the Richmond area. And on the road to Richmond, long highway, Mr. Les introduced me to the game Candy Crush, which he was at the time obsessed with. And therefore, I became obsessed with it because I started playing it in the car on this like 5-hour car ride and learned how to my first real kind of video game. So I have to thank Mr. Les for that. And then, so on this trip, we went to see several colleges in Virginia. And I'm from Virginia. I'm from Roanoke, Virginia. And so on the way back, we traveled through Roanoke and we were going to visit a couple of colleges near the Roanoke area. So we stayed in my childhood home in my mom's house where she still lives. And Mr. Les got to sleep in my room, which was the nicest room. And I had to sleep in the guest room because my boss got to sleep in my room in my mom's house in Roanoke, Virginia. And then it snowed. And that was hilarious because we woke up to snow the next day and had to drive home in a little bit of weather. So that's the road trip story. And then the other story is he and I were interviewing. So I share, as he does, I know he's probably talked to y'all about sports a lot. Well, I'm kind of a sports girl too. And I love college basketball and soccer. So one time, Mr. Les and I were interviewing a candidate who had gone to my alma mater and worked at Davidson College. And Mr. Les likes to tease me about Davidson not having great sports compared to some other schools. And so in the middle of the interview, I said something about Steph Curry or Davidson basketball. And Mr. Les says, "Does Davidson have a basketball team?" And I promptly threw a piece of candy at him in the middle of the interview. He still makes fun of me for that. Luckily, we knew the candidate, so it wasn't too embarrassing. But Mr. Les can totally bring out the mischievous jokester kind of fun side of people, and that's what makes him so much fun to work with.
I'm here in the recording studio at the Belk Learning Center with Head of Upper School, Mr. Les. It is good to be talking to you today.
Thank you.
Can you tell me and the audience about your early life, high school, college? Did you play any sports?
Oh, yes. Well, I grew up in rural Iowa, played football, basketball, baseball, ran track, even played golf one year. And my football coach told me, "You can golf all you want when you turn 50. You need to get in better shape. You should go out for track." So golf as a high school sport ended for me then, and I started running track and throwing the shot put in the discus, which was fun. In the middle 80s, the farm economy wasn't great. My dad sold farm machinery to farmers around Iowa, and he sent out a resume and got a job in Arizona. So we ended up moving to Arizona the summer before my senior year. I could have stayed back with my grandparents. I decided to go with the adventure. I had a chance to continue to play football there. They needed a quarterback. So I went and I played quarterback in Arizona and finished my senior year and my high school career in Casa Grande, Arizona. While there, I got recruited to go to Columbia University to play football and was lucky enough to get accepted. Went out there and played 4 years of football and had a successful career doing that. came out with a math major and then wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I worked for a company for a year, always wanted to teach. I had an old girlfriend who talked me out of teaching, telling me there was no money in it. We eventually broke up and then I decided to try teaching. So, and now I'm here.
So did you go back to college after Columbia to study for teaching?
Well, at a private school, you don't need a teaching certificate. So I was teaching at a private school in Kansas City, teaching math, coaching football, basketball, and baseball. I got connected with a summer program to get a master's in math for teachers, master's of science for teachers at University of New Hampshire. So 3 summers, I went back in 94, 95, 96, and got my master's through University of New Hampshire. So that was the graduate work I did. But I kept teaching math. I was in Kansas City for 5 years, Chicago suburbs for 15, and then here for the last 13 years.
Having been around most of the continental U.S. for any professional sports teams like NHL, NBA, NFL, have you fallen in love with any team in a certain city, or has it kind of just gone with where you've gone?
Well, as a little kid in rural Iowa, we didn't have any sports teams, and the Pittsburgh Steelers were really good back then, so I started rooting for them, and I've kept them as my football team. My uncle was a professional baseball player, mostly a career minor leaguer, but had a couple years in the majors, and my baseball team tended to switch with whichever team he was with. But I've always liked to root for the hometown team, so I'll root for the Panthers, I'll root for the Carolina Hurricanes. I did enjoy the Chicago Blackhawks when they started winning and started putting their games on TV. That was fun to watch. Funny story, the old owner, you know, who was getting near the end of his life, would not put the Blackhawks on TV because at the time, and I guess that was, you know, 15 years ago, at the time, he was afraid that if he put him on TV, nobody would come to the stadium anymore. Well, he passed away and his son took over, and within a week, they had Blackhawk games on TV, and they showed videos of fans coming up and shaking the owner's hand, thanking him for putting him on TV because so they could see every game as opposed to just the games they had tickets to. So I started watching the Blackhawks when they had Patrick Kane and Taze, and they had a good run, so that was fun to cheer for them.
Yeah, that was a good era for them. Three Stanley Cups, I think, in four years. So yeah. that was a good era. 5 years, I think. Good era for them. not doing so well right now.
No, but they got that first round draft pick, Connor Bedard. So that's been nice.
Yeah. So they've gotten a lot of media attention recently.
Yes.
So that's good for them. Let's talk Leicester City. How did you become a fan of them?
Well, I got into Premier League soccer Saturday mornings. Most everybody in my house was sleeping in and I was awake and there was soccer on and I had talked to it with some friends. And so I started watching. I would always root for the underdogs, the little teams that came up from relegation, et cetera. And then when Leicester City came up, I kind of picked them as my team a few years in. I guess that would have been, they won the title in 2016. It was a few years before that. You know, one of my nicknames was Lester growing up with my last name being Les. And I don't know if that was part of it, but I started rooting for Leicester City. Jamie Vardy was fun to watch, had a ton of energy, and, you know, seeing if they could, you know, stay above relegation. And then they had the great run in 2016, and I was on board at the right time, and I've kept rooting for them since. They went down this past year. They have more talent than a lot of teams that are in the Premier League and should have never gone down, but they had a bad run, but now they're 10 points up in the championship and looking to come up again and have a big game today versus Leeds, who's in second place. And that's kind of where it all started.
Cool. And I'm assuming similar to that, did your love of other maybe European sports come from that as well, being early in the morning on weekends? Or is that completely unrelated with things like F1 or even other soccer leagues?
Yeah, the soccer, the Premier League soccer expanded into Champions League and some of the other, you know, Carabao Cup and the FA Cup and things in British soccer. So that was part of it. F1 was really thanks to Netflix, Drive to Survive. I heard about it. My wife and I started watching, and we got hooked watching that, and then we started keeping track of the races, and the Drive to Survive on Netflix was great behind-the-scenes stuff, and I had always watched a little bit of NASCAR and kept track of that, but seeing the amount of money that was poured into F1 and, you know, really as a math guy, the science and the things that they were doing to keep the tires warm just to get a couple more miles per hour or, you know, a little less air in the tire, a little more air in the tires, the aerodynamics, they have it down, you know, to a science, really. And it was fun to watch in that way and to listen to some of that strategy that took place.
Have you, Netflix, I know they started with Drive to Survive. Have you watched any of their other things, like Full Swing or anything like that?
I did watch the golf one, and then the quarterback one. Is that?
Yeah.
I think I've still got a few episodes. I kind of got lost from that one, but I've enjoyed that one too, because that was my old position. I played quarterback, and then I moved to tight end, but I've enjoyed watching the quarterback one.
So with F1, do you have a favorite driver or team, or do you just kind of like watch it for the stories, like Drive to Survive?
Yeah, I've tried to get on with a team. I know I don't like Max Verstappen very well, and I think Drive to Survive probably did that to me. I did like Lewis Hamilton, but he's not winning right now, so I still kind of have a soft spot for him and root for him. I guess I was hoping Michael Schumacher might pan out, but that was nothing. I root for the Haas team a little bit just because they're an American-based team, and I want to see them have some success. And Gunter, their lead, is pretty good for Netflix,
yeah.
Although he's gone now. My wife and I have liked rooting for McLaren, and Lando has been another person we've enjoyed to follow. But I like to see a good race. I've been disappointed with Max winning so many races last year. I want more, you know, parity, I guess. And, you know, so we don't know the outcome when we get in there.
Yeah, I've been a bit turned off recently just because of the Red Bull dominance. But hopefully this year will be different. And Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari is a thing that's going to happen next year. So that could shake up things a bit. So I'm going to get my hopes up again. So I hope I'm not disappointed.
Right. Yeah. It's a bummer when you see the qualifying and you see Max is in for, you know, got the pole again and he's 2 seconds ahead of everybody else. So that I agree. That's lost a little luster for me.
I know you said last year was a bit disappointing, but have there been any specific races you remember that you really loved or any certain track that just you love the race every year from there?
Trying to think. I remember some accidents and some tight racing that was fun, but I have a hard time putting those together with all the tracks because they're so diverse and around the world. I always, you know, enjoy watching the U.S. Grand Prix. I thought that's been fun just because it's local. I did enjoy watching them race in Miami, and Las Vegas was okay.
Yeah, but had a bit of kinks and stuff they had to work out for the first race.
Yeah, but I like the idea that it's expanding over here, and probably mostly because of Netflix, they've created a market.
You were head of upper school when William Byron was here. He won the Daytona 500 just recently, which was a really big thing. But do you have any stories or anything about him at Country Day?
I have a couple. It's been fun to watch him and cheer him on, and I know Mr. Plyler, Mr. Toomer, Mr. Roark, we all kind of text when he's doing well and wins. We'll touch base, but it's been fun cheering him on. When he was in his junior year, I think, was when he started doing trucks. And he had a deal with Liberty University on his car, and I remember his dad coming in to meet with me and saying, I don't want to screw up this big deal for Liberty sponsoring my son. They've asked if he can take a class through Liberty University's online program. And he goes, we were wondering about potentially taking Spanish online. And I said, we can work that out. And we let him use those credits from Spanish to be part of his transcript so that he could keep his multi-million dollar deal with Liberty University to sponsor his car. So that was one of my first, you know, check-ins. And I was able to get tickets once in a while to a Xfinity race. One summer I was back in Iowa, and they added a racetrack in Iowa that's a great little quarter-mile track that's pretty fast, and I don't know if they'll ever get a NASCAR event there, but the people have enjoyed racing there. And I was in visiting my parents, so I texted Mr. Byron, the dad, about getting tickets for me and my parents. So we drove up there and went to the Xfinity race, and he pitted at the right time before caution, and then he got in the lead. He ended up winning, and that was his first Xfinity race, and his dad always said that I was good luck charm for him that day. I took my parents. We got the radio so we could listen to all the talk and, you know, in the pits and stuff, and I think they really enjoyed that, and it made them become a little fan of William Byron, too, and have watched him. My dad was checking in with me just the last 2 days and telling me about the articles he's been reading, because he's down in Florida for the winter, about William. So that's been fun to cheer him on. I send him DMs on X, you know, when he wins, and congratulate him. And I know he's come back and done a podcast with a couple students, or with one of our students, about 3 years ago.
Yeah, I see. Is there anything else that I just haven't touched on that you want to talk about? Any other things you like or in the sports world, or any other fun stories from your time here that I just haven't gotten to?
In my time here, I'm trying to think of things. Hold on. You know, I've always been a sports fan and kind of a math person. So I always enjoyed teaching the math and then coaching. And I was able to, it was always an interesting thing when I was teaching math. And I was, at one time in my career, I was head football coach and then head girls basketball coach. And I would go from, you know, football and those practices to, within 5 days, coaching girls basketball. And it was a completely different mindset. And I had really good basketball teams, and I had some great young women who I coached who, we had so much fun. If somebody asked me what was my favorite, I'd have a hard time picking one or the other, because I enjoyed football. I always liked calling the plays. I was more of an offensive guy, but then I loved the strategy of basketball too. So I always enjoyed coaching, and even though I'm a math guy, I never really enjoyed the stats that much. I just liked helping young people compete and be part of a team. And I love that atmosphere as part of the high school experience. So that was one of the things I always enjoyed.
I like to say there's no bad role in sports. Coach, fan, player, anything. They're all great.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if my wife would tell you, I'm not much for watching movies, but if there's a sporting event on, I'll turn that on.
Yeah.
You are listening to Legendary Less with your host, Austin Reese. This is a production of the podcast journalism class with Kick at Charlotte Country Day. More from my interview with Mr. Less when we come back.
Do you root for the underdog in March Madness, or do you root for like a UNC or a Duke? Or
definitely not UNC nor Duke. I try to stay away from them. I grew up in rural Iowa. I've been big on watching Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes, even though they lost last night. Yeah. And I heard somebody on the radio say it, that the women's basketball has picked up, and partially thanks to Caitlin Clark, but I think partly it's a more pure form of basketball that you're seeing. And I think the NBA All-Star game, some of the college game, people are a little tired of it. And the way they're playing, you know, as a little older, I haven't enjoyed watching those games. Whereas when I watched the women play and the way they execute, I've enjoyed that form of basketball. That reminds me more of the basketball I played.
Yeah. So it seems to be a lot more competitive and a lot more, I feel like, at least in the last couple of years in men's college basketball, at least, it hasn't really been a dominant team. I mean, you made Kansas a couple of years ago, but I feel like everyone's kind of like not very good. I mean, Purdue lost last year, first round.
Yeah.
So they were the one seed. So I don't know what's going on really in there. And I feel like in women's, it's a lot more competitive. There's like LSU, South Carolina, UConn, and
Iowa, they all seem to be, and I mean, Indiana was ranked and they beat Iowa yesterday, and they, Ohio State game against Iowa was really good and went to overtime, and they were both ranked. So I think it's a lot more competitive, and it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and the women's game in general has, you know, UConn used to be just the gold standard, and then South Carolina came on, and now you've got these Big Ten schools and LSU and a few others that you're seeing some really good basketball, and it's been fun to watch. It's been competitive, and I think the guys' game at time, it's hard to understand sometimes the way they play above the rim. And, you know, I used to play, I never played above the rim, you know, and so seeing that kind of, you know, the way they play is a little different. I've enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's been fun. I'm excited for March. I think everyone is. It's always the best time of year. We get towards the end of the NBA and the NHL, and we get March Madness. So it's always the best time of the year.
Yeah, and then I'm a sucker for the Masters and a few of those tournaments that I get into. So I like them all, and probably drives my wife crazy, but it keeps me interested.
Yeah, golf. We're picking up for golf. So I'm excited about that. We got Masters soon, and Players I think is soon. So. Sawgrass is always fun. Augusta's always fun. So looking forward to that. Well, thank you for joining me, taking time out of your busy day. It's been really nice to interview you.
Thank you very much. This has been great. I love talking sports.
Thank you for listening to Legendary Less with your host, Austin Reese. This has been a production of the podcast journalism class with Kick at Charlotte Country Day. A special thanks to Mr. Less, Miss Dennis, and Miss Odom for taking their time to talk to me. And again, thank you, the listener, for listening. This is Austin Reese, signing off.